Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Friends and who are streaming online, I want to just give you guys a big shout out. We love you. We miss you, and we're praying that we can all be together, but we're glad that we can use technology to connect in this way. I was speaking last night to my friend in Cuba, and he has just explained that they are going through a horrific time. There's been a resurgence of the pandemic, and this resurgence has overwhelmed the hospitals. They're out of medicine. They don't have things to treat people who are in the hospitals. Thousands and thousands are getting sick. They're having food shortages. And so if you would just please keep our dear friends down in Cuba in prayer, especially pray for churches and pray for their ability to minister with a very short supply. We're trying to find ways that we can get relief, but it's very, very difficult to get relief down there. So we're just pray with me that God would open doors that the church can and minister to those people who are in need, as well as those in our communities and in our nation as well. Well, today we're going to continue in our series talking about how to deal with church folk. And I started with some billboards, and then with some announcements. I have some more billboards today as we start out. And so Matthew, just click this. Some ones, the Hall of Fame. The fact that there's a highway to hell and a stairway to heaven says a lot about anticipated traffic numbers. I thought that was kind of ouch, not really subtle. This one's not up there. This one's not up there, but I read this one when I was, this is from a comedian, Emo Phillips. He said, when I was a kid, I used to pray every night for a new bicycle. Then I realized the Lord doesn't work that way. So I stole one and asked him to forgive me. That really actually sets our message up well today. You know, if you do it intentionally, are you really repentant? Go ahead, Matt, hit the next one here. Acting perfect in church is like dressing up for an x-ray. I thought that was funny. Okay. Does that work for, okay, we'll keep going. John's not here today, so we don't get the x-ray text version of that. Go to the next one, Matt. Tweet others as you would want to be tweeted. For our social media people, that one will make sense. For those people who aren't social media, just laugh. Okay, next one. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? I like that one. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? And that's another very good one. And finally, the one that I think wins the award today, Adam and Eve, the first people to not read the apple terms and conditions. Wah, wah. So how do we deal with church folk? Well, we're going to continue in our series on 1 Timothy. We've been talking about Paul's letter of instruction to his protege, Timothy. We've discussed the aspect of church that none of us are comfortable with, if we want to be honest. None of us are really comfortable with the aspect of church family and church life that should be seen more often, which is correction. One of the purposes of church is to show the love of God to one another by lovingly offering correction in places in our lives that are in error. There are some places and some parts in our lives. I am convinced as I look at my life, as I don't look just at my life, as I go and stand in front of the mirror, and the mirror that I'm talking about is the mirror of God's Word, there are some rough edges, if you will. There are some things that I need the continual work of the Holy Spirit and the continual ministry of brothers and sisters. I'm so blessed to have some other pastor friends that I walk with that look at my life, and I have been given permission to look into some other individuals' lives and to try to work and give accountability in areas and try to strive to be better. I think as long as we're on this side, we need to continue growing. And I think it's been a dangerous doctrine in the church that says that once you get saved, you sit back and you put your feet up and you rest a while. We continue to strive to grow so that we can reflect the image of God. The church is called to bear the image of Christ, the image of God to the world, to let them know of the love of God and God's purpose. And sadly, what we see happening in our culture is a heresy that's trying to embrace the world and reflect the same values of the world that are against God's law, against God's character. And so it perverts our purpose, and this is a dangerous thing. So as we've discussed this contextually here, today we're going to look in chapter 4, but there were a few teachers in Ephesus, particularly Hymenaeus and Alexander, and these individuals were teaching an odd doctrine. Okay, they'd gotten away from the fulfillment and the totality of Christ's sacrifice in atoning for our sins to bring us salvation. And they added some strange things, like if you're going to follow Christ, you couldn't eat this food. And if you were going to follow Christ, you couldn't be married. And most grievous was that our final eternal resurrection had already taken place and not an event yet to come. They refused correction, but rather they were emboldened. Have you met people who you try to correct and they just bristle up and they just double down? We have these two individuals like this to the point where Paul was forced to expel them, was forced to give judgment and send Timothy to follow up to do the same. There was always some new thing that they were putting forth with lots of words, but they were missing the essential truth of the totality of Christ's atoning death. They were saying that Christ's sacrifice was not enough. You needed to add something, whether it was don't do this, like eating certain foods, or you don't do this, like being married, or that you have to find whatever fad happened to be in. And it's a dangerous thing that the church, especially the church in the United States and the church in Europe, have been dealing with for some time now, which is watering down the gospel of Jesus Christ and adopting false teachings, adopting heretical teachings, so that they can be more popular, so that they can be in the world's eyes success. Because I guarantee you this, success in God's eyes doesn't equate to success in the world's eyes. But I'm wanting an eternal success. Anybody else? And there will come a time, and there we do live in the age where following Christ might come with persecution. It might come with being persecuted, with being tormented. Let's not become shipwrecked, as has happened to a few of those particular members in the church of Ephesus. So there's a couple points for us to consider today, but let's read together 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. If you put these things before the brothers, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Let me read that again. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is a trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. So a couple things for us to consider today. Right off the bat, we see that There are individuals who have huge issues, and these individuals who have embraced heretical teachings and have tried to put forth heretical teachings of demons, they have literally seared their conscience. Now, searing, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but just to let you know, it's got this Greek word of taking a hot iron and putting it against your skin. You ever burnt yourself real good? As a kid, I used to have to make my own breakfast before I get on the bus. And when Pop-Tarts came, boy, anybody like Pop-Tarts? You know, it's hard to mess up a Pop-Tart. You're looking at somebody who messed up Pop-Tarts. Because there's this thing that I liked my Pop-Tarts really hot. But if you got the frosted Pop-Tart, especially the cinnamon Pop-Tarts, and you cooked them just a little too long, anybody ever done that? To the point where the sugar on the top actually turned to like molten lava. And then any normal person would take it out and let it cool down. But no, I was impatient because I usually overslept and had to run to the bus. And so I would take the really, really hot Pop-Tart with the frosting on the top that was literally bubbling and searing and bite into it. And then you do the milk and try to cool it down. Yes. And it's always great to have blisters on your tongue. Some of you wish I had a blister on my tongue today, I bet. But that's all right. And I remember one time I actually touched that part and that sugar came off. And that hot sugar just started burning, burning, burning. And it burnt down. And those were bad. But you know, the very worst burns actually destroy nerves. So there's no feeling. There's no feeling. There's no ability to have the sensation to tell what's going on. What we're finding out is a continual rejection of God's word. When you ignore God's counsel and you ignore God's word, you begin to sear your conscience. First point for us here today is this. Some will refuse to be corrected. The bottom line is this, some will. In considering Hymenaeus and Alexander, we must realize the truth then that is still true today. Some people will never be willing to submit to those whom God has called to help them continue to grow in the faith. There are some people who will absolutely refuse being corrected. There are some people who will look at God's word and look at the law of the Lord and say, I know better. We live in that scary age of the church. Never would I have thought that I'm seeing the things that I see happen in church today, where we look at doctrine, where we look at God's law, and we look at God's word, and we say, we know better. It's a dangerous thing, gang. Remember the end of Luke chapter 2 when Jesus was a boy. And at the end of Luke chapter 2, we see that they had visited the temple for Passover. And the family was on the way back home. And yet Jesus hung out in the temple. And the boy, this is a boy, Jesus went and began to teach the scribes and the Pharisees. He was amazing people with the authority that he demonstrated. And mom and dad, after they'd gone, you know, a couple days and realized that their son wasn't with them, the original Home Alone movement, they turned around and they went back and they found him teaching in the temple. And Mary and Joseph went to Jesus and they asked him, you know, what are you doing? And they said, you know, I've got to be about my father's business. And Mary and Joseph, they told Jesus, look, why did you treat us this way? And Jesus, scripture says in Luke 2 that Jesus went with them and submitted himself to them. Now, this is the Son of God. Okay, this is God incarnate letting us know that literally Jesus operated in submission. In fact, he didn't do an earthly miracle until Mary called on him at the wedding of Cana to say, hey, what are you going to do? And he's like, oh, what would you have me do, woman? Look, I've been listening to you. Gang, some will refuse to be taught. Some people will only hear in the Word of God what they want to hear. And I got to tell you, that's dangerous. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 5 says, the time is coming and when people will not endure sound teaching, but having, look at what this says, itching ears, They'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. This is a sign of the end times. This is a sign of the last days where people will turn away from the true faith. They have, that always got to me. They're having itching ears that they'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Gang, this is a pretty rough thing. In Proverbs 26:12, it kind of talks about such people. In Proverbs, they say that the word foolish is somebody who refuses to be taught. Someone who refuses correction is a fool. It says, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. I know that some of us are smart and some of us are successful, but even the smart and the successful are going to bow their knee to the Almighty God. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. So I got a question for you. Are you stupid? Are you just stupid? No, I'm not stupid. Do you hate correction? Reproof is correction. If we hate correction, if we hate correction, it's just stupid. Correction brings safety, gang. So that's the first thing I want us to understand. Some, in fact, will just plain refuse to be corrected. It is a sign of the end times. But the second thing I'd like to tell you this morning is this. Refusing correction sears our conscience. When we refuse correction, when we refuse to heed the counsel of God, when we refuse to heed the wisdom of God, when we refuse to look at God's word as authoritative, but literally stand in front of the Lord Almighty and say, I know better, I choose my own way, there's something that happens inside of ourselves. We literally sear our conscience. Now, I've had that happen where I've had burns. I've had severe burns that have left scars. And those burns that have left scars, you can't feel. Those parts of skin, you know, it's there. I've got a couple scars like that. Those of you who know, I've got some nerve damage in my left foot. And I can't feel things. And so sometimes I run into stuff and I feel the bump. But I look down and until I get home and take my sock off, I don't realize I've like cut my foot and bled through the sock. I know that's gross. I'm sorry. But there's something when you walk around with your feelings seared, you bump into all kinds of things. You know people who are just plain obtuse? There's some people who I pray that we would not be spiritually obtuse because we have seared our conscience. When we reject God's law, when we reject God's word, when we say to Him, I know better, I know how to fulfill my deepest desires better than you, God. I can run and I can take the steering wheel of my life much better than you, God. In fact, your word, it's not relevant for today. It was good maybe a couple thousand years ago, but now science has enlightened us to the point where we no longer need faith. Oh, brothers and sisters, that is a dangerous, dangerous place to be. When our consciences become seared, we have no feeling of the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Again, that word in Greek is the idea of that place with a hot iron, gang. And so when we do this, when we resist the word of God, when we resist correction, instruction, we're literally training ourselves to ignore counsel instruction. Have you ever thought about that? When we do it, when you do something, remember muscle memory? I always tell, I'll go watch an Ellie when Ellie's working with some of the people who work with her on her basketball shop. They're talking about muscle memory. They wanted to do something over and over and over again. And the more you do something, the more you're training yourself to do that thing, right? This means yes. And as we continue to resist God's word and thumb our nose at the portions of scripture that we deem irrelevant or we deem, oh, that's just past and that's no longer. As we do that, we're teaching and training ourselves to do that same thing. Likewise, as we submit to God's word, as we value it, as we admonish it in the correct position in our lives, we're treating ourselves to walk in it. When we refuse correction, it trains oneself to ignore the Holy Spirit. Each time that the Holy Spirit whispers, and sometimes, I tell you, the voice of the word screams, but the Holy Spirit whispers, and some of those whispers of the Holy Spirit that we ignore, we're teaching ourselves to resist them. We're teaching ourselves to believe the lie. When God whispers His truth to us, that we can overcome, that we are not slaves to fear, that when the world just screams what their identity, Satan attacks us in many ways to try to give us a false identity. When we refuse the identity that God gives to us, we're teaching ourselves to be callous to the Holy Spirit. Psalm 53, 1 through 3. Says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is no one who does good. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. The Old Testament, again, are full of individuals who resist the teaching of the faith, who resist correction, are considered foolish. The New Testament as well, for that matter. But what about those who are teachable? Because I pray, in shining a spotlight, my goal today has simply been this, that we look and ask ourselves a very hard question. Am I teachable? Am I correctable? I pray that as we have spent some time and as we continue to spend some time in 1 Timothy, we're going to recognize that's part of being a member of a healthy church family. It's not just chicken dinners and events and social activities. No. There's something greater. It's about us confronting things inside of ourselves that still do not bear the image of God. Third and final point is an encouraging point. Correctable people will be the ones who see clearly to help correct others. Now, I hear all the time, oh, we're not supposed to judge. Oh, we're not supposed to judge. Really? Is that really what Scripture says? Look at this. I like Matthew chapter 7. Okay. Jesus says, judge not, that you be not judged. And he goes on, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Now, some people would stop right there and say, you see, Pastor, we're called to ignore the speck that's in our brother's eye. That's not what we're called to do. You see, the reason church folk are annoying is because they ignore the log in their own eye and only look at the specks in everyone else's eye. You want to be a good church folk? Deal with the beam in your eye. Deal with it. Look honestly into God's law and start at home. And if we would start at home, if we would start with our stinking thinking and our self-righteous attitudes and our arrogant, hypocritical ways, and we would look honestly, we can begin to change. And then correctable people will be, in fact, the ones who see clearly to help correct others. Look at verse 4. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? Verse 5 is where it is. You hypocrite. Then here's the instructions that he gives. First, what? Take the log out of your own eye. And then leave the other one away. Leave the other guy alone. Is that what we're called to do? Look, guys, we're supposed to take the log out of our own eye. Then we'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I like how this paints. Look, we got to start. You know, if we were a little more stringent in the judgment we place upon ourselves, if we really examined ourselves to a better degree, we'd be more beneficial to others. We would be beneficials, and we would do so in a loving way. We would do so in a way that helps and brings healing and brings wholeness. Church family, this is an important call for us. My final thought, again, is correctable people will be ones who see clearly to correct others, is coming back to this question. Am I correctable? I want you to think about that for a second. Are you? Are you correctable? Are you? Or if someone is even to come that way, does something well up inside of you? And if something does well up inside of you that's resentful, now, I have been corrected many ways. I've been corrected with Bible bullets. I've been corrected with the spirit of religion. Correction is great. You sat in my pew. Can I help you? You're sitting in my pew. Oh, okay. I joke about that, but that has many, 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 many iterations. It's got the concept of my way. It's steeped in selfishness. It's steeped in self-centeredness. And then there's the other way, which is humility. Everybody say humility. When I'm correctable, I'm humble, and I realize it ain't about me. It's about everyone else and how God can you use me. Correctable people will allow that beam to be dealt with in their eye. And then they're going to see clearly to lovingly, in the character of God, walk with one another to deal with some of those hard pieces. And sometimes that's not, you know, this is not correction. Hey, blah, 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 blah. That's not correction. Correction is, I'm going to walk with somebody. Kayla, let's walk together. Let's talk together. Let's sit down and let's have lunch. Let's begin to talk about what's going on and what's going on in your life. And then I can become valuable. We have relationship. That's the beautiful thing. I mean, consider Jesus as we wrap up. Jesus was really, really difficult to those religious people, but he gave grace to hurting, messed up folks. I pray we can do the same. Amen. Let's be correct. Let's be people who can make a difference in our lives. Stand to your feet, let's pray.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.